Disability is a problem and a concern for many millions of Americans. It's also a concern for many on campus here. I spoke to Sierra Rogers Ferris. She's a disability advocate on campus, and here's what our conversation was about. She's the president and founder of Crimson Access Alliance. It's an organization that advocates for disabled people on campus at the University of Alabama. She's also a grad student in the Women's Studies Department. Ms. Rogers Ferris, how are you today?
Pretty good. How about you?
Doing great. Thank you very much for joining us here today. Now, you founded this organization coming to the University of Alabama. Why did you decide to do that?
Well, I went to undergraduate here, and so I spent 4 years coming up with obstacles, you know, coming to issues that really didn't work for me. And after I left for a year and then came back in the Women's Studies Department with a focus in disability, I realized that, you know, I'm not really the only person that's dealing with these issues. It's somebody, you know, that would probably be easier to make change if there was a group that actually came out and spoke about these kinds of problems.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. What you have cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. For our audience, just kind of give us a little bit, and obviously radio is not a visual medium, but
yeah.
Kind of give us a rundown of what it's like to live with cerebral palsy.
A lot of times when people ask me that, I always say, well, what's it like to live without cerebral palsy? Because I have no idea, right? But I would say it's different for everybody because everybody's cerebral palsy is different. Mine is mostly upper body, which is actually unusual. Usually it's lower body. And also I still have the ability to walk, and obviously I still have the ability to talk clearly, which not everybody with cerebral palsy does. Mine is mostly stress-based, so the more stress I'm under, the worse my CP gets, which makes testing really difficult. But for the most part, it's kind of, I feel like I'm on a comedy show a lot because I'll drop stuff or I'll trip or I've hit myself in the face with a Gatorade bottle once, you know, on accident. And just stuff like that. You never really know what's going to happen, I guess.
Is there any form of medication that you take to sort of alleviate the symptoms? Does that exist?
Yeah, to some extent. Since mine is stress-based, I can take anxiety medication and that type of thing. And I also take Lyrica for some of the pain it causes. It's good for fibromyalgia, but it's also good for the pain that comes with my cerebral palsy, because what it basically is my muscles get tight and don't get untight, don't release, and so that's very painful, but Lyrica helps that process. And I take muscle relaxers for obvious reasons as well. But for the most part, there's nothing that will fix or cure it. There's no cure. There's no, for some people, there's no way to actually get rid of the tremors either. Just it happens that I have an odd form.
So it's a neurological disease,
mm-hmm.
disorder. What is it? And I know you mentioned asking this question is like asking those without
mm-hmm.
cerebral palsy what it's like. But what is the pain like at the end of the day when you come home and you're trying to wind down from a hard day? You're doing the same things that a non-suffering person would have to, non-suffering from cerebral palsy person would have to deal with. What does that feel like?
It feels great to finally lay down. Sitting is not always comfortable. I actually have titanium rods fused to my spine, so I can't slouch, which is an extremely comfortable thing that you miss. Laying down on an actual bed on a flat surface is fantastic, because everything can then start to kind of relax. It's relieving is the only thing I can think of. It also depends on how much pain I'm in that day. If I've fell, I'm going to be in more pain, and I might have to lay in a specific position to alleviate that pain. I also have issues with my shoulders a lot, so sleeping on my back is a lot more comfortable. It's just basically finding a position that's comfortable and not moving for anything. So,
we're speaking to Sierra Rogers Ferris. She's the president and founder of the Crimson Access Alliance advocacy group here on campus. I don't want to misrepresent what your group does, so why don't you tell us?
Yeah, the group has been officially accepted this semester, actually, so we're brand, you know, we still got the new car smell and everything. But basically, we're here as both a community and an advocacy group for those with disabilities, especially those who are born to non-disabled parents who maybe don't have access to information or access to, support group, that type of thing. Hopefully, we will be the kind of group to do that. Because neither of my parents were disabled, neither of my none of my grandparents, nobody in my family, I was the only one, and so there's a lot of information that my parents just don't have. And there's a lot of advice I can't get from my parents because they don't know, and so hopefully we'll be a group where people can come and ask, you know, what do I do in this situation? And also, as we get more members, we can speak out louder about, you know, issues of access to buildings, access to, you know, classroom learning for those who may have, you know, blindness or may have hearing loss issues, anything like that. So it also for people that have like autism or any kind of cognitive disability as well as mental illness, we're kind of, you know, for us the term disability is all-consuming, covers all the bases. And also it's not just for people with disabilities, it's also those who are interested in disability advocacy. We actually have a few members that are not disabled that are just interested in, that have family members or have friends that are disabled and want to take part of this, so.
Well, we'll talk about ways people can get involved in the group in just a second, but you mentioned access to different buildings on campus, I assume is one of the main thrusts of what you guys are trying to get done here. Our broadcast, we're broadcast out of Reese Pfeiffer Hall, which is a notoriously confusing building, notoriously a lot of steps in this building. The building originally was two separate buildings and then was kind of merged together, and so there's a lot of disjointed parts to it. You had a hard time getting to where we are. Tell us what that struggle is like on a daily basis for people that, and the average person would never think of that.
Yeah, and I guess that's a majority of the issue that we come across as people with disabilities is that, you know, others just don't know. You know, you don't live that experience, so you have no concept of it. As far as this building is concerned, it was a really big pain in the butt. And just the stairs, the amount of stairs, I could physically do stairs, but it's hard. I had to take my inhaler twice just to get here. And then it seems like nobody knew where you were exactly, so that didn't help either. But yeah, just trying to get into a building. And a lot of times the handicap accessible entrances will be in the back or will be in the side. And for instance, the stairs leading up to Reese Pfeiffer, the handicap entrance is actually underneath the stairs. And it's kind of dark at times, especially at night. Dark and kind of, you know, it's not necessarily well cleaned or anything well managed. So you're kind of going through dark, unkept, dirty areas on campus that are in the back. So
do you feel like less of a student, less of a citizen when those type of things happen?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it feels like that, especially if you, you know, get to that and, you know, you need to the automated, you press the button and the door opens. If that's broken, those doors are extremely heavy. I have to put the entirety of my weight into them. And so if they're not working, you know, I can still physically get into a building, but somebody else may not be able to. And so you really, yeah, it almost feels like your education is not important at some point.
We're speaking to Sierra Rogers Ferris. She's the president and founder of the Crimson Access Alliance. I'm assuming that you've gone to the university with some of these complaints, and the university makes a point of it in all of our the syllabi of each class to have that disability statement saying, well, this is what happens if you have a disability, you contact disability services, we'll make it work for you. Does that actually happen?
Disability services has a specific job, and their job, for the most part, is to facilitate test-taking for those that have different circumstances. You know, I can't write my tests, I take it on a computer. Some people have scribes. Some people get extra time for ADHD or any kind of something like that. So that's the majority of what they do, and they also keep hold of like paperwork to make sure that you're you know, legitimately have the disability that you're saying you have. And they also connect with make sure that the university is following ADA regulations.
Sure. The American with Disabilities Act for our audience out there.
Yes. The issue with the ADA is that it talks about minimum requirements, right? And so the minimum requirements the university is meeting, but, you know, nobody wants to be a minimum.
We'll continue our conversation with Sierra Rogers Ferris coming up next on Capstone News Now. At 4:40, about 4:50 actually, we'll speak to Payne Griffin. He's a graduate of Mountain Brook High School. He's also led a 5-month-long investigation into the JFK assassination at American University, where he now goes. Mr. Griffin will Skype us live from London. We'll ask him why he's there and what he's found in his research about John F. Kennedy, of course, tomorrow being the 50th anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. We have a lot more coming up on Capstone News now. But before we do that, we go to Kristen Fite with a local news update. Or with a news update, Kristen.
In national news, newly elected school board member in a Connecticut town neighboring Newtown apologized for saying on Facebook that he'll observe the anniversary of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shootings by distributing ammunition. A social media campaign called 26 Days of Kindness asked people to do good deeds in honor of the Newtown victims. Referring to the tribute, Gregory Beck of Brookfield wrote on the Facebook that his acts of kindness would be to distribute ammunition to gun enthusiast friends on each of the 26 days. Beck says that he didn't intend to be malicious. He says that he recognizes his comment was insensitive and indefensible. Beck recently ran for Brookfield's Board of Education on an independent party line and was endorsed by Republicans who have since called on him to not take office. He's scheduled to be sworn in on December 1st.
In state news, Governor Robert Bentley announced that the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development is providing Alabama with $1.8 million in grants to help fund emergency housing initiatives. The grants are expected to provide 13 agencies throughout the state with between $30,000 and $180,000 each.
The Senate has started a showdown debate over a Democratic effort to curb the power of minority Republicans to block the president's nominations. The Democratic proposal seems likely to succeed. It would change the number of votes needed to end filibusters from 60 to a simple majority of the Senate's 100 members. It would apply to executive branch and most judicial nominations, but would exclude the Supreme Court justices and legislation. It would be the most sweeping change in decades in the filibuster, a delaying tactic designed to protect the rights of the party in the minority. While the change would weaken the ability to block President Barack Obama's nominees, Republicans have warned that Democrats will regret the change when the GOP regains control of the White House and the Senate.